Thank you, Lanny. You know, talking about it this morning and hearing it sung tonight, I so look forward to the time when Christ returns and sets everything right. When he puts away death, when he reunites us with the ones we love who've gone on before us, when he puts away sin forever and we can worship him rightly face to face. Father, come soon. Until that day, tonight, what we're looking at as we continue in Ephesians is how we ought to pray for each other now. What does it look like for us as a church to be praying for each other? We will be in Ephesians chapter 1 still. That's on page 947 if you're following along in the Pew Bible. It's page 947, or Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This morning, as we began our study through Ephesians, we read, that's right, the gospel. We just looked at the gospel and all of its joy, who Christ is, who this God is that we worship, and what he's done for us, and how freely he's done it for us. And now, as Paul began his letter, not with a prayer for his congregation here in Ephesus, but rather just bursting out with the gospel, now he gets to his prayer. So tonight, as we read this prayer, we'll ask ourselves, how ought we to pray for each other? How does Paul pray for this church that he loves? Because that's going to inform how we are supposed to pray for each other. As you know, one of the best things about this church, one of the things that I love the most about this church is our prayer times. I keep telling you, I love Sunday night, just how informal and fun it is. And by the way, Carly, you get the game ball tonight for turning Richard red. Not just stumping him. He was gone. I loved it. I'm going to hold on to that memory. What a joy. But even more than our Sunday night services, I love our prayer times together as a church. We have the great prayer times. If you'd like to join us Sunday morning at 9:30, before Sunday school happens, we're praying in here. And that prayer time is just for the day, is just for Sunday. Everyone's welcome to it. We sit down here at 9:30 and we begin just praying that God would change somebody's life today, that the gospel would go out in all of our classrooms and from the pulpit, that people would hear from the Lord and change because of what they hear out of Scripture. We pray that even one person would come to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior that day. And that's a very powerful prayer time for me every Sunday morning. And then every other Wednesday night, that is the second and fourth Wednesday nights, that would be this Wednesday night, we have our prayer meeting together, where we come together, and it came up in prospective member class this morning. We were talking about, you know, what our prayer meetings look like, and so I'll let you know if you haven't been to one. It's a great time together. We spend right exactly about an hour from 6:30 to 7:30. We begin praying for our guests and for our new members. If you turn in a guest card to me, we look over your name, and somebody prays for you specifically in that time. Then we pray for everyone else that we're ministering to. We have a time to say, okay, who are you praying for? Who have you reached out to and invited to church? Who have you shared the gospel with this week? Who do you need to share the gospel with this next week? And then we talk together about these people and pray for all those, for the mission field, for whoever we want to come to know the love of Christ. We pray for those ones next. And then we distribute amongst ourselves who in our congregation needs prayer, who isn't here but is ailing, is sick with something, has some kind of struggle in their life that we can pray for, and we pray for our people specifically by name. And then finally, if you came to that prayer meeting, I pray for you. I say, okay, you're here. How can I be praying for you? What do you need? I gotcha. And then I just pray for those who are there at that prayer meeting together. And so in this way, we go about for just about an hour there praying for all that's going on, and you really find not only the heart of congregation, but the heart of God in that time. As it's both for the saints and for those who do not yet know him, we lift up together. But how ought we to pray for each other? When Paul, who started this church, who pastored there for at least 3 years, who led many to Christ in this area, when he says a prayer, as he writes this letter to this church that he loves, how was he praying for them? We're going to pray, and then let's begin reading in verse 15. Father God, may the reading of your word and the hearing of your word be worship to you tonight. Teach us something new about yourself so that we can worship you better. And as I pray in your name, amen. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 15 of Ephesians, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may better know him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So what did you hear there? How did Paul pray for his people? What did he want for this congregation? Well, first of all, he starts in verse 15 saying, for this reason, pointing back specifically to what we read this morning, the gospel, pointing back to that Christ came, and as Scripture says in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. The very first thing that Paul does is he gives thanks for the congregation. He's thankful for them all the time, the brothers and the sisters that are around him. Frequently, as we pray together here in our prayer times, one of my favorite ways for us to begin praying is to simply say, Father God, what a joy it is that you've brought us together from all over the world in this little congregation to pray to you and to worship you. How wonderful is it that God's brought us together from all over the place? Aiken's one of those interesting areas where people are here from everywhere else. Some of you might have grown up here. Some of you grew up nowhere close to here. Even in the worship service this morning, I counted 4 or 5 maybe countries represented, origins of birth, and a lot of different states. We're from all over, and yet what a joy it is that God has gathered us together at this time, in this place, to worship him together. He brought us here for that purpose. And so, the first way we pray is in giving thanks for each other, giving thanks that God has brought us together for his purposes. The second is this, Paul prays that they would know him better. Verse 17, look, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. He says, I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your life. Why? So that you may know him better. We say revelation here. It doesn't mean to say he's praying that the Spirit would come on you so you could come up with some new stuff, like Bible. It's not so you have crazy dreams and see things like in the book of Revelation, in the Apocalypse, the last one in Scripture. Rather, revealing, illuminating your heart. Pray that God would send the Holy Spirit of wisdom, of revelation, that you would come to know, that you may come to know him better, that God would reveal himself to you in your life. This kind of revelation, this illumination that happens in our life. Have you had that before? A time when suddenly, powerfully, you just knew that God was at work in your life. Do you remember the first time when you first came to believe him? When you heard Scripture, when you heard the gospel powerfully, and you said, yes, I believe it, it's true, I know it. Paul is praying for all these saints, saying, I pray that the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit, would come on you for wisdom and for revelation, that kind of illumination in your heart. Why? So that you could know him better. The next thing that he prays is this, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Next thing that Paul prays is that they would know the hope they were called for. Makes all the more timely what Lanny was singing for us today. As we talked this morning about our future hope, we know in Christ everything's going to be okay. It's not today and it might not be tomorrow, but when Christ returns, he will set everything right. And that's one of the things that Paul prays for these people about, that they would know the hope with which they were called. This is because how are you going to move forward in any meaningful way in your life, in any meaningful way following after Christ, unless you know where you're going? Unless we're able to keep front and central in our mind that Christ is returning. And on that day, none of the other things matter that we're doing in life right now, except what we've chosen to do with Jesus Christ in our life, and whether or not we've chosen to share Him with our neighbors and to tell them about Christ. How will we have the right perspective to go into our week this week unless we remember that Christ is going to return and that He's going to set everything right? We've talked before about, you know, creating a bucket list, which is all right. It's good and fun. I got some things I'd like to do. But we also talk about this creating this, you know, millennial kingdom of Christ list, as Revelation says. When Christ comes, the next thing that happens, as our song talked about tonight and as is talked about in Thessalonians, is, says, you know, with the shout of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet, Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who remain will be caught up with them in the into the air to go and be with God forever in heaven. And then Revelation tells us there's this time of tribulation. There's this difficult time, this outpouring of God's wrath on everybody who remains, who didn't believe. So the church is gone, and everybody who remains is there. Given this time, this chance, this very difficult tribulation time, in order to trust Him, it is a last chance. It is one more chance. And then Christ comes, as Revelation 19 and 20 says, to establish His kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. We come back down with Him to live in His kingdom here on earth. So if you miss something in this lifetime, you got time then. What can you put off? There's plenty of things you can put off to doing. But what can't you put off till then? Letting someone know about Christ. That's for today. So he prays, first of all, that they would be able to know Him better. And then he prays, second, that they would be able to know the hope in which they were called to. Finally, he prays this, that we would know His power. Look with me, verse 19. Verse 18, he says, I pray that your eyes may be open. Verse 19, he says, and I pray that His incomparably, that we would come, our eyes would be open to His incomparably great power for those of us who believe. What power is it that we have in our life? It's the Holy Spirit. So think with me. When you think about how powerful God is, what is it that you go to? What spot in Scripture do you think about? When you think about how powerful God is, in all things that He's done, where do you go to and go, wow, that's a powerful God that we have? Where's that moment? Is it when He floods the earth? What a terrifying example of His power and how serious He is about sin. Is it when Jesus Christ calls Lazarus, who is dead and in the grave, to walk out of the grave, and you go, wow, okay, He can do that too. It's not just healing the blind. It's not just healing leprosy. It's healing death. They were dead and they came back to life. Is it when Christ Himself is brought back to life by the Father? Frequently it's creation, when God simply speaks and things begin to exist in order to obey Him. This power is the power that is working in us. This Holy Spirit who enabled all those things is the Holy Spirit that is working in our lives. Why be afraid? Why tremble? Why be nervous about whether or not you have the strength to do what God's called you to do? The prayer is that you would come to know this wild, lavish, excellent power that we have in us in Christ Jesus. Keep looking with me as he says that. Verse 18, that power is the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Paul doesn't make it through the prayer without going back to the gospel, without going back to Jesus Christ. But how wonderful it is what Christ did, this power of God that raised Christ from the dead, that everything should point at him. And as verse 22 says, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. God is working on your behalf. God is working on our behalf together. We have nothing to fear if we continue to keep with these things that Paul is praying his congregation would keep with. That is, knowing God better, on its own. But then also knowing the call, knowing the hope that he has called us to. Finally, knowing the power that we have at hand. Don't you think it's interesting that the three things Paul prays here for this congregation all have to do with what they know? You recall this morning we talked about earlier in this passage. It says faith comes by hearing. This is something that you heard one time. What happens when you hear something? Well, then you know it. What happens when you know something? Well, then you can believe it. And what happens once you've believed? You can take action and do something about it. Paul's first prayer is that they would come to know these things. Because in knowing these things about God, they could be able to believe them. And then believing the Holy Spirit really is in their life, that God really is as good as he says he is, that God really is going to come back like he says he's going to come back, and they can act righteously as a result and go about doing the mission of the church. So these are the things that we pray together for each other and for this church. We're going to take a moment now together and let's pray over these things, these three. We'll pray them for ourselves, for our families, and for our congregation silently. So I want you to pray like this. I'll give you each one in time. Say, let's pray together for our church that we may know God better. We'll take some time to pray silently. And then I'll say, let's pray together as a congregation that we may know the hope that he's calling us to. And then I'll take a moment and say, let's pray together for our congregation that we may know his power rightly. And then we will end praying, Christ, come soon and set things right. All right? Let's bow our heads together. First, together, let's pray that we may know God better. Now let us pray that we may know the hope that he's called us to, what's coming next. Finally, let's pray that we would know rightly the power that is at work in this church. Finally, simply pray, come soon, Lord Jesus. Father God, I thank you so much for this congregation that you have brought us together from all over the place to worship you. Father, I pray that we would know you better, and in knowing you better, we'd be able to obey you better. Father God, I pray that we would know clearly, that we would have in the front of our mind the hope that you have called us to, your return and future kingdom. Father God, I pray that we would know, that we would believe in the power of your Holy Spirit who is among us to do all things that you have called us to do. Finally, Father, I pray that you would return soon and set everything right. These things I pray in your name. Amen.